10:30 service begins on page 5 in our bulletin. Page 5 in our bulletin. Opening hymn, as we heard in our prelude, all depends on our possessing. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And our focus for today is on the gospel reading, Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you can't have two masters. You can't have two gods. What in the world is he talking about? We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. Pastor Murundi is on vacation, and we pray God's blessings upon his R&R. He'll be back in the office on Tuesday. Thank Pastor Russert, there he is, for helping out with our worship service. This morning at our 8 o'clock service, we had a baptism, and the grandfather of the little boy who was baptized, Pastor Tim Booth from Faith in Stanton, was here to help with the service and to perform the baptism, so we were thankful for that. And I just noticed we have, I mean, technically it's not the front row, but in realistically it is, we have another pastor with us today, former vicar, Pastor Radcliffe, Andrew from St. John and Seward and his family. So welcome, and it's great to see you, and God's blessings upon your family and our time together here. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you shower down upon us, gifts that we in no way, shape, or form earn or deserve. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we have taken some or many of the gifts that you have given us, and we have shamefully misused them and abused them, turning these gifts into objects of worship, false idols. Heavenly Father, today, teach us to examine our lives. We boldly ask you to break those idols in our lives that are keeping us from the worship of you, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, bless us with the forgiveness that can come only from the cross and empty tomb of Jesus. It's in his name that we gather, worship, and pray this day. Amen. Amen. Hymn 732.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the intro for the day as you find it in the front of your bulletin insert. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God,
your continual pity cleanse and defend your church, and because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and goodness, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings, chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow there was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The epistle is from Galatians, chapters 5 and 6. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the gospel of the Lord. Sing now our sermon hymn, hymn 783. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from Matthew 6, especially verses 24 and 33. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Dear friends in Christ, in Greek mythology, there is a man by the name of Narcissus. And Narcissus was a hunter. And he was a handsome man. One day, Narcissus was lured away from his normal area to drink from a pool. Narcissus, this man of famous renown and great good looks, bent down into the pool of water to get a drink. And when he did so, he saw his own reflection. And he fell in love. He fell in love with himself. He was so in love with himself that he was paralyzed. He was so in love with himself that he lost all will and reason to live. All he wanted to do was look and admire himself. And that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly where he died, admiring his own reflection. We have a word in our world today called narcissism. And maybe you knew that story and maybe you didn't, but this is where the word comes from. Narcissism is when someone is in love with themselves. They're in love with themselves to the point where nothing else really matters. My friends, there's a little bit of narcissism in every one of us. It's called the old Adam, our sinful flesh. But now, more than ever before, we live in a world that is dominated by narcissism. Everybody has to look out for number one, because if you don't, nobody else will. I want what I want, and I want it now. We've gotten very good and very crafty at how we do this as well. We've even come up with ways to be able to make it look like we actually care about somebody else, when all we're doing is going through the motions and stroking our own pride and our own ego. Today, in our gospel reading, Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us about the narcissist that lives inside of us, and he's teaching us how to live in a world that is dominated by this falling in love with yourself kind of an attitude. And he starts out with some pretty familiar words, but that doesn't make them any easier to hear. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's the ESV translation. The word there, the literal word, is mammon. Now, that's not a bad translation. Mammon is Hebrew for money. But it means more than money as well. It means all of the things in this life that we love more than God. And that can certainly be money, right? But it can be your pride. It can be your reputation. It can be your retirement savings. It can be your job. It can be your family. It can be your stuff. All of these things are included in this mammon. Now, all these things are good and God-pleasing. They're gifts from God. But when we turn these gifts into idols, that's what makes it mammon. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Literally in the Hebrew, you shall have no other gods in my face. Do you like it when somebody gets in your face? I don't. We get a kick out of it when we're watching a baseball game on TV and the manager, the ball player, runs up to the umpire, kicks a little dirt, spits on him a little bit. It may be fun to watch, but it's certainly no fun to be the recipient of when somebody gets in your face. I don't like it. You don't like it. This is the word picture that God gives us with regard to the first commandment. When we worship false gods, when we worship mammon, it's like taking that false god and sticking it right in Jesus' face. And God says, I don't like it. Stop it. God says, you can't have two gods. If you try to, you're going to end up loving one and hating the other, being devoted to one and despising the other. You can't do it. It can't be done. We should fear, love, and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, above all things. And when we are talking in confirmation class, I try to teach the kids, here's an easy way to remember it. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all nouns. Now, I'm not saying you should treat your English teacher with disrespect. What is a noun? Here's what I was taught: a person, a place, a thing, or an idea. That's a noun. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all nouns, above all people, above all places, above all things, above all ideas. These are the mammon things in our life. These are the things that we treat as false gods. Jesus is teaching us today about idolatry. So, what kind of idols do you have in your life? I don't want to see a show of hands, but you know very well. The things, gifts of God, that oftentimes get in the way of our love and devotion for the one true God. Sometimes I like to say, you know, you want to find out what your false god is? Have somebody hide it for a while. What kind of panic do you go into if you can't find your keys? What kind of panic do you go into if you can't find your cell phone? What kind of panic do you go into if you can't find your checkbook? What kind of panic do you go into if you can't find your laptop? We're just scratching the surface, folks. Any gift of God can be abused and misused to the point of idolatry. It was a couple of years ago, we had a little boy, I don't know, 4 or 5, and he, in our preschool chapel, and it was early in the year, about this time of the year, and I'm teaching the kids the Lord's Prayer. And this little boy said there's no way he could learn it. Too long, too hard. And I encouraged him and reminded him that we've had hundreds and hundreds of 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. And by the end of the year, they all know the Lord's Prayer. He would have none of it. He would have none of it. Couldn't be done. And as he walked down that aisle right there, and as he was heading back to his classroom, he was singing. And you know what he was singing? There is no place like Nebraska. Yeah. Can't learn the Lord's Prayer, but we got all kinds of false idols memorized. Parents teach their kids what's important to them. Whether they mean to do it or not, they do. If a dad likes to hunt or fish or work in the garden, guess what? He wants to pass on that love and that joy of hunting or fishing or working in the garden to his kids. If a mom likes to sew or to cook or to work in the garden, what does she do? She passes that love on to her kids. We do the same thing. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, we pass it on. Jesus is asking us today to take a good, hard look at our lives. He's asking us to examine the mammon. And he's asking us to get rid of our false idols. Jesus goes on to talk quite a bit in this text. In fact, the word comes up a lot. And that word is anxiety, worry. You ever worry about anything? Happens all the time. We worry about our work. We worry about our health. We worry about our kids. We worry about our parents. We worry about the situation in the world. We worry. And what Jesus is teaching us today, are you ready? Worry is sin. Worry is sin. When we trust in our stuff, when we trust in our people, places, things and ideas, they cannot satisfy. Not always, not only. And when they let us down, as they always will, we worry. And our worry shows us our idolatry. Jesus says, don't do it. Don't do it. If you get rid of the false idols in your life, if you cling to the God who made you and promises to take care of you, don't you think he knows what you need? Don't you think he knows what's going on in your life? He knows, and he'll take care of you. Trust in him. Cling to his word. Cling to his promises. Jesus gives us a lesson. He gives us a lesson. Some of you might think it's a lesson for the birds. But it's a lesson from the birds. Birds don't worry. It's pretty rare when you find a bird that's starved to death. Maybe one that was dumb and flew into a highline wire. Birds don't worry. They always have something to eat. But you know what else birds do? Birds work. Birds work hard. When you see some birds either gathering food or building a nest, it's an amazing thing to watch. They work and they work and they work and they work. They don't worry. They just keep working and working and working. It's no coincidence that Jesus gives us this picture. Work is good. Work is God-pleasing. He wants us to work, but he wants us to do it in a way that we don't worry. knowing that God is in complete control. The antidote for our worry, the antidote for our obsession with mammon, is to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. What is the kingdom of God? Let me rephrase that. Who is the kingdom of God? Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom of God. God, who takes on human flesh and blood and makes his dwelling among us. God in the flesh for us. The kingdom of God is God for us. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. The kingdom of God is the word of God, which cannot lie and will not let us down. The kingdom of God is the water of holy baptism, where God delivers Good Friday and Easter at the baptismal font, wrapping us with this robe of righteousness that comes not from us, not from our stuff, but from our gracious gift-giving God. The kingdom of God are those sweet words of forgiveness that poor miserable sinners like you and I, idolaters like you and I, need to hear. We heard them this morning. My son, my daughter, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is the very body and blood of Jesus in and under bread and wine for you. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Seek these things and God will take care of the rest. It sounds so simple. And yet it's so profound. We continue to cling to our worthless idols that will always let us down. My friends, there are many times in my life, more than I like to think about, many times in my life where God loved me so much that he broke right in front of me one of the idols I was clinging to. God never loves you more than when he breaks your false idols so that you can cling to Christ even more clearly. This is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to let go of something that you love so much. My friends, do you have the courage today to ask God to break the idols that get in your way of loving the one true God, your stuff, your pride, your possessions, your reputation, your work? My friends, it is a scary thing. And trust me, when God breaks one of your idols, it hurts. It just kills you inside. And you know what? That's exactly what God wants. Romans 6. Don't you know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were buried therefore with him? Baptism part 4 in our small catechism. Luther says, what does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam that lives inside of us should daily drown and die with all of its sins and passions and evil lusts and come forth a new creation. My friends, today God is teaching us. He's teaching us that he has given us everything. He's given us the kingdom of God, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And if you can trust God for your salvation, you can certainly take him at his word that you can trust him for your daily bread. My friends, today, Jesus is inviting us to look into the water, to look into the pool. Not to see ourselves, and to fall in love with ourselves, but to the pool of the waters of our holy baptism, and to see the death and resurrection of Jesus and the robe of righteousness that only he can provide. My friends, when this righteousness of God is yours, your worries, your anxieties, your idolatry runs away. May God grant it to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our stuff in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten and His Father before all worlds. God, God, light, light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Give ear, O Lord, to the petitions we bring before you. Grant that we may trust in you for all good things, knowing that you alone provide for our every need of body and soul. Lord, your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, because we live in a fallen world, we are continually faced with temptation from the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Grant that these temptations may not overcome us. Guide us that we may help those who are tempted and be forgiving to those who have sinned against you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Incline your ear, O Lord, to all who cry to you for help, comfort, and protection. Just as you feed the birds of the air and protect them, grant your protection on all the hurting, the lonely, the depressed, and the sick. We pray for all those who are cleaning up following the earthquakes, hurricanes, and wildfires throughout our land and throughout our world. We pray for safety and protection to all those who are serving and protecting. And we also pray that those who are suffering would be granted relief or strength to endure. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Father, you teach us to do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. In love, you sent your Son to be our Savior. Open our hearts that we may give generously as you have been generous to us, that the ministry of our congregation may flourish and your word may have free course in our midst. We also ask for your blessings upon Dr. Allman as he considers the call to serve in Houston, Texas. Bless them in their travels. Bless them in their deliberations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, receive our thanks for clothing us in the very righteousness of Christ and declaring us to be members of your kingdom. Remember in mercy all who approach your altar this day, that the body and blood of the Savior may strengthen and sustain them in body and soul. Grant that we may remain faithful until we join you and all the saints who have gone before us into paradise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a gift-giving God who has given you the kingdom would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament. We begin with the offertory, 159. What shall I render to the Lord? Please stand as you're able.
Thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give praise and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you have created, and send your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength preserve you, body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand, and we continue with the Nunc Dimittis on top of page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please remain standing as we sing the common doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for all the activities and events, the days and weeks ahead. Thanks to everybody who helped us last Friday night with our family fun night. There's some information here with regard to our Good Shepherd member, Little Disney Turek. He's kind of like the state poster boy for the fundraising effort for colitis and whatever else disease he's afflicted with. So check that out. We got a couple of fundraisers coming up with that. It'll be a great opportunity to show some Christian love there as well. We started a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class this last Sunday, and so it's not too late to plug yourself in. Opportunity to find out a little bit more about what Lutheran Christians believe, teach, and confess, or a good refresher in the catechism. We also kicked off a 6-week Bible study on stewardship in the fellowship hall today, and that will continue for the next 5 weeks as well. Keep Pastor Morundi in your prayers. He'll be back in the office on Tuesday. Wednesday night, we are observing the festival of St. Michael and All Angels. And so everything you wanted to know about angels and more, that'll be in worship this Wednesday night. That's also sort of the end of the long green season, not technically, but it's the beginning of the end, and also the beginning of the festival season. So St. Michael and All Angels Day is kind of a transitional point, and we look forward to that on Wednesday evening. Pastor, thank you again. Anything else? Vicar, have a great day and week in the love and protection of our Lord Jesus.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.